Our lesson this evening comes from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 19 to 27. Thus the Lord said to me, "Go and stand in the public gate through which the kings of Judah come in and go out, as well as in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, 'Listen to the word of the Lord, kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all inhabitants of Jerusalem who come in through these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed for yourselves, and do not carry any load on the Sabbath day, or bring anything in through the gates of Jerusalem. And you shall not bring a load out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work. But keep the Sabbath day holy, as I am commanded your forefathers. Yet they did not listen or incline their ears, but stiffened their necks in order not to listen or take correction. But it will come about, if you listen attentively to me, declares the Lord, to bring no load through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but to keep the Sabbath day holy by doing no work on it. Then there will come in through the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city will be inhabited forever. And they will come in from the cities of Judah and from the environs of Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, from the lowland, from the hill country, and from the Negev, bringing burnt offerings, sacrifices, grain offerings, and incense, and bringing sacrifices of thanksgiving to the house of the Lord. But if you do not listen to me to keep the Sabbath day holy by not carrying a load and coming in through the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I shall kindle a fire in its gates, and it will devour the palaces of Jerusalem and not be quenched."
Hey, be seated, dears. We come to a remarkable scripture tonight, one that is eminently practical in the Old Covenant and in the New. As always, however, before we study it together and apply it to our lives, let's pray that God would give us the strength and the ability to do that in Jesus. Father, we recognize that we can't do that in ourselves. We cannot even hear, let alone obey, or even believe without your miraculous grace. We pray that that will be our estate tonight. The application of faith, especially as it pertains to the Sabbath or the New Covenant Lord's Day. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Jerusalem of Jeremiah's time's entire welfare depended and hinged on one thing overtly, according to tonight's scripture lesson, and that was the way that the people there would handle the Sabbath day. If we have any doubts about that statement, all we'd have to do would be to reread verses 24 through 26, which lay it out very clearly. The Sabbath day and church life are practically synonymous or the same. But there is one specific spiritual difference, however, between the Old Covenant's language, especially here, and the New Covenant believers' experience. And that is that though no burdens were to be borne into Jerusalem, the Old Covenant church city, if you will, on the Sabbath day, the old Saturday, yet God does countenance and allow and even invite us to bring our spiritual cargo and freight into church, where we are to lay down our burdens at the cross and feet of Jesus. And we did that this morning, if you were able to be here, with absolution, confession. We're going to do it here tonight as we take the Lord's Supper and consider our estate before the Lord, laying down our burdens, leaving them here, so that we might go into the week before us with joy. The result is that, as one was not to leave Jerusalem's gates on the Sabbath with burdens, we are not to leave these church doors tonight with sin weights on us either. There's no reason to, dears. You're the church. You're the ones that Jesus shed his blood for, rose from the dead for. We have the inheritance and we have the right to all that Jesus purchased for us. Let's make it our goal this evening, in light of that joyous fact, to enjoy gospel freedom through our living faith in Jesus. We're studying Jeremiah 17:19 to 27 tonight. Sabbath Day Burdens is the title. The doctrine, true faith, leads to pleasant worship and rest. The question might be asked, can an unregenerate person fully enjoy the Sabbath day? You know, everybody's to have it, the animals, the people, the redeemed, the unredeemed. The whole earth is to take the Sabbath today on Sunday. Can unbelievers enjoy it? Not really, not fully, but those who do love Jesus find this day more than any other day of the week to truly be a taste and slice of heaven. This is a special day. This is our victory day. This is our holy day. This is our resurrection day. This is our day when we get to rest and worship. And it's a very special day. Now, look with me at this point. The Sabbath principle is key to enjoying the true religion. You know that's true. This morning we sang about the true religion. Theo played it so beautifully on the piano. God of our fathers, true religion, grow in our heart. Puritan, the true religion. It's a very sweet thing that we have objective gauges given us by God so that we don't have to be completely subjective in our evaluation of ourselves. You understand what I'm talking about? Objective, factual, can be looked at, applied, measured. Subjective has to do with our feelings and thoughts and things like that. They're important too. But God's given us some evaluative ways to look at our hearts and our standing with God. And one of these is very much the fully developed and clear, dependable one of the Sabbath principle. There's what I mean by this is that the Christian Sabbath, or the Lord's Day, takes the guesswork out of religious living. You know, there are a lot of very sincere Christian people out there, and you probably know them, and I do too, who feel like they have to conjure up a lot of spiritual energy in order to find some way to satisfy God and themselves, to find this sort of black hole void of religious need to get filled. And a lot of times they've never been taught of the principle of the Sabbath day and the worship of God in the church. And without that, you can't even get started. I'm not saying that there can't be sincerely regenerate people that don't understand it, but they're being robbed. And we need to help them, as we've been beneficiaries of this doctrine for a long, long time. If we live in church on Sunday, as it were, we have set the stage for everything else that God will call upon us to do throughout the week. That's why you're here tonight. Some of you were able to be here this morning as well. But if we don't do that, we're at a loss. And we are put out to sea without an objective, spiritual, and biblical anchor. You know, if somebody could sit at home, read their Bible today, read precious promises about the forgiveness of God, but they can't know if that applies to them, assuming they're not in church on their own volition, either out of ignorance or just rebellion. They can't know it applies to them, but those in the house of the Lord, hearing the gospel preached, can know it applies to them. This is very precious for you. The Sabbath principle is the major factor in a lot of ministry. Are you aware of that? Pastoral counseling, let's just use that as an example. Does someone come to a pastor or an elder with guilt issues? Well, of course we talk to them about God, Christ, their state, their nature, their need. But we also ask the question, do you go to church on Sunday? I mean, we start there. Person needs to hear the gospel, we start there. Someone comes to us with financial problems. The query is posed, do you tithe? Do you see how important the Sabbath principle is to our lives? Really, there's not one situation that we face that can't really be solved in the context of the body of Christ, the church, properly functioning, well-led, good elders, good deacons, called by God. There's not a thing that cannot be solved, and there's no real solid hope for anyone outside of the church. So the Sabbath principle is key to enjoying the true religion, and Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. This is very important. He calls himself the Lord of the Sabbath. I like tonight's reading out of Luke 13, where Jesus heals the woman on the Sabbath day, and the religious people are all upset about working on the Sabbath, and he corrects their misunderstanding about that. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that makes the Lord's Day, or the Sabbath, New Testament Sabbath, a pleasure and a delight. And that was true in the Old Covenant and the New. It was true for Jeremiah's time, Moses' time, Adam's time, our time. Jesus makes the difference. Think about this. How could anyone who doesn't love Christ enjoy worshiping Him, praying to Him, going to His house, giving to His cause, reading about Him, singing about Him, professing, confessing creeds about Him, taking the supper, talking to others about Him, if they don't love Him? Now, the reason Jeremiah's hearers were willing to violate the Sabbath day in today's text, ignore the Word of God, and condemn their own souls, was simply because they had no love for God. But those of us who, you, love God and Jesus Christ, we are willing to do what He calls us to do, including keeping the fourth commandment. Let us more and more love Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. Well, let's look at the text now, okay? We've done the doctrine. Consider verses 19 to 27 of Jeremiah 17, and let's learn together the way to handle Sabbath day burdens. And, you know, we all have these, right? I mean, it's not like we come to church perfect. We come here burdened. We've been through six tough days, a lot of dust, a lot of dirt, a lot of mud, trial, tribulation. We've been through the valley of life. We come here, a lot of times we're pretty well burdened. So the real question becomes, what would God have us do with our spiritual encumbrances on the Lord's days, so the New Covenant, New Testament, Sabbath days? Let's consider that now from this text. First of all, verses 19 to 23, see them in the light of God's Word. Thus the Lord said to me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people by which the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. There's the emphasis on the word of God. See them in the light of God's word. Who enter by these gates, thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. But, in the sad verse 23, but they did not obey nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. The key here really is verse 22, the end of it, but hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. God had not rescinded the fourth commandment at the time of Jeremiah's preaching and ministry, and He has not revoked it for us who live on the other side of the cross and resurrection today. It's still part of the great moral code, a law of God. The Ten Commandments, including the Sabbath ordinance, the fourth commandment, are not legalism, but rather loving expressions of faith now under the era of the full grace of the gospel. We might ask the question concerning verse 23, why did the people, quote, not obey nor incline their ear to Jeremiah's universal Sabbath preaching at every gate, as it were, in Jerusalem? It was because they did not believe God's word and thought they knew better themselves, better than God. That's why they didn't do it. They thought, you know what, we can make a few extra bucks, you know, what's the difference, bearing some burdens out of our houses into the city, who cares, this Jeremiah is just a kook anyway, what does he know? They believed that they knew better than God. And this same thing is true of everyone who violates the Sabbath day today or any other commandment of God overtly. So the way to handle Sabbath burdens, see them in the light of God's Word. Now, these next three verses are remarkable verses, 24 to 26. Let's see if we can really glean some gems out of them. Lay them, Sabbath burdens, at Christ's feet. And it shall be, if you will heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work in it, then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city shall remain forever. Remarkable statement. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin and from the lowland, from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord. Wow, these are amazing verses. This is an incredible thing we're reading about. God is teaching them here through Jeremiah, and the principle is still true. If the people then would simply have been faithful at one simple commandment. Remember, Jeremiah had a lot of complaints with the people in these 17 chapters we've studied up till now. It'd be a lot more. Really, God using him as his mouthpiece. But God is saying, if they would be faithful not to bear the burdens into Jerusalem, take the burdens out of their houses, etc., that they would hallow the Sabbath day. Get this now. All of God's and Jeremiah's threatened judgments, which have permeated these 17 chapters, and there'll be a lot more to come, would completely, utterly be canceled out by obedience to one simple, simple commandment. Isn't that remarkable? Now why? Why would this be the case? Because compliance to this gracious ordinance would have evidenced true heart love for God, repentance, listening to God and the prophet, and a willingness to comply with the Lord in everything else. But there's even more in these three verses. Consider this with me. How gracious is God? He's not even asking them to worry about getting your worship right, throwing out all your idols. All that stuff would go in the backswing with this. Also, on top of it all, not only would the threats of judgment be rescinded, but promises of great blessing would come. There'd be kings and princes, chariots, horses. There'd be celebrations. There would be greatness. There would be honor. Kings would come. The land would have plenty. People would come from all over the place to Jerusalem to worship the true God. Remarkable. There's, unlike the folks of Jeremiah's day, let us always prefer blessing in Jesus rather than anything else. The world's goods, the world's promises, advertisements, commercials. Do this and you'll be happy. Do this, you'll live forever. Do this, all your problems will go away. Marketing. You'll be bombed with it this week. Let's prefer God's way. Love for Christ from a pure heart of love and faith. In fact, according to the Word of God here, had Jeremiah's hearers been faithful and obedient regarding just the Sabbath day, and in particular just bearing burdens, get this one, a third major incredible fact. Babylon would never have prevailed over them at all. They would have remained forever. What the text said. We saw it. This principle of the Sabbath, which is the life of the church, and by the way, that's why your church is Sabbath, Sunday focused. Because we recognize that unless people are Sunday Christians, and sometimes we're criticized for being Sunday Christians, but we recognize that unless we are Sunday Christians, we can't be faithful Christians at all. You know, our opponents to the gracious gospel and this application of it would retort to us, well, you just focus on Sunday. You don't burden people with all kinds of activities through the week. You know, you don't give them a Wednesday night service where they have to come and get refed. Yeah, that's right, because you're supposed to be out there doing the Christian life on Wednesday night, wherever you are, at home, neighborhood, work, school. Yeah, we are Sunday Christians, but that's because we are seeking to be faithful biblical Christians. Okay. Now, there are activities we do enjoy. We've got our ladies' study. That's a great thing. Meets about every third Wednesday. We have our session meetings meet every week or month. Our diaconate meetings every other month. Those things are important. But none of it overrules our Sunday worship, morning and evening. These are the two kingpins of everything we do. Morning service, evening service. Everything else is in subordination to that. So the Sabbath principle governs a lot of things. The way to handle Sabbath day burdens, see them in the light of God's word, lay them at Christ's feet. Verse 27, note them as God's signs of election or reprobation. But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. It shall not be quenched. This sounds like hell, doesn't it? So basically we've got two extremes, and it's all based on the Sabbath principle, which is a gospel principle. Now, he's not saying that this saves anyone, but it's saying that it's evidence that we have the faith of salvation in Christ. In light of that, what kind of heart lessons might we learn from even this verse? Well, depending on what we do with our Sabbath burdens, it's a sign and guideline of our objective standing with God, I would say. If we're faithful with the Sabbath day, that's a good sign. If we're unfaithful, if anyone is, that's a bad sign. Now, is this a universally watertight, airtight, verifiable guide in every single case? Actually, not really, because there are people that can be in weak churches, weak congregations, hide there, be going to church, never hear the gospel, never repent, and feel like they're actually doing something worthwhile. But verse 27's principle does remain. God never denied that fallen sinners like you and me would have Sabbath day burdens. There's nothing wrong with that. The issue is, what do we do with them? The Sabbath principle informs not only our lives, but our evangelism too. And I've taught you this before, and I want to drive it home, because evangelism is bringing people to Jesus, but that includes in it the indispensable ingredient of taking them to church and teaching them the simple yet profound gospel values of the Lord's Day. Never forget that, dears. There's way too much evangelism out there, especially in the Western culture, our nation, that just misses the meat of the grace of God and His provision. True faith leads to pleasant worship and rest. The way to handle Sabbath day burdens, a little more application. Consider some important heart truths regarding the Sabbath. Remember that true religion is not principally defined as the manifestation of external compliance to even God's law. You might recall that Paul, as a Pharisee, could say, "I kept the law perfectly." And he was yet in sin on his way to hell. He didn't have Jesus. Instead, it is the faith in Christ and the motivation that comes forth, born out of love, that shows itself in every way, be it our external or internal person in life. But that will be revealed in the true saints in their love for Jesus, His church, His worship, and His day. Let us now consider candidly some real situations that our hearts may have to deal with every day, and how they're boiled down and represented in the context of Lord's Day observance as we close. So, important heart truths regarding the Sabbath. First, we do not know more or better than God. Just take the Sabbath or the Christian Lord's Day. Ask yourself this question: why do people violate it? I mean, today, for instance, why was there just lots of violation of this day? It wasn't that many years ago, decades ago, when that wasn't so common, even in our country. Quite simply, it's because they think they know more or better than God. God, who are you to tell me how to spend my time? God, who are you to tell me what to do with one day out of seven? Don't you know I'm busy? I work. You know, I need to do my own thing. Folks may even rationalize this way and say, I just have to work on Sunday. If I don't, I can't support the church. Well, this argument is like insisting that it's necessary to put a hole in the hull of a ship in order to kill the mouse that's running around in it. Someone else might argue in this form: I can't go to church. Somebody there may look down on me. But when does compliance to God's gracious will for us and our own good depend on any human being or how they behave toward us? These are the kind of things people say. What people offer really are excuses when they should be making faith confession and acting in harmony with faith and repentance toward Jesus. The eternal state of souls is on the line, And there's no clearer manifestation objectively than the Lord's Day and its corresponding church worship. And the more faithful the church is, and the more faithful the people are to that, the greater a person ought to have of the assurance of their right standing with Jesus, as long as they are truly trusting in Him alone for their salvation. So these important heart truths, we don't know more or better than God, and no form of any idolatry will ever save us. Now you might say, Pastor, why are we talking about idolatry here? Because here's idolatry is at the root of all Sabbath breaking. People violate the fourth commandment simply because, get this, simply because they're busy worshiping another God. One that also has its appointed days of worship, its place of worship, and its order of worship. Don't ever be deceived about that. People who violate the fourth commandment God's way are keeping a Sabbath, but it's a Sabbath with the devil, under the guise of whatever idol God is adored and served. Never be deceived. The true Christians have the true God as our Lord. The true Sabbath is our day of worship. And we ought to say, are we not thankful to God for Jesus? If we are, then we'll show it with our lifestyles, building them around the Lord's Christ, the Lord's day, and the Lord's church. Sabbath day burdens are to be laid down at the cross, and we're to leave here tonight refreshed and renewed in Christ, in His blood. And what a great way to do that, by celebrating the sacrament. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that we can leave our Sabbath burdens at Your feet, go into the week before us and build up and encouraged, refreshed and renewed, ready to do the work of the ministry. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.